This is a Hashkofen Musa Shia for Parshas Tzav. Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe Limor Tzav es Aaron v'es Bonov Lemar Zos Torah Sa'ola. Rashi on the word Tzav says, Ein Tzav Eloshen Zeruz Miyadu L'doros. Here in the Karban Ola, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw it fit that he would have to give an extra push to the Kohanim to be mezariz them and excite them and motivate them for the Karban Ola. Amar Rav Shimon, b'yosef tzarech hakosav lezariz b'makom sheyesh chisaron kis. Sha'ola makreves kalil v'ein lakoin bo chelek. There was a special zeruz that was necessary in the case of the Ola because it was kulei kalil and the kohen got nothing out of the oil. And we've discussed this in the past. But the pasuk goes on to say the following: Va'koin amakrivis olas ish or ha'ola or with an ayin or ha'ola sher hikriv la'koin lo yiyeh. What does this mean? That even though the carbon is kulay kolil, that's only as far as the basar is concerned. But the ar, the skin, is given to the kohanim. So it means that even with all the zerus, even with all the encouragement, the Torah still had to give one last thing to the Kohen in order to get him on board, and that is the R of the Ola. This world, as you know, is a world of trials and tribulations of nisyonos. Man was created in this world in order to fulfill Hashem's mitzvos, to serve Hashem, and to face the challenges and the trials of the nisyonos. Anything in this world, whether it's for good or for bad, anything that happens to a person is a nisayon to a person. That's what the Mesil Sisharm writes. But how does a person succeed in a nisayon? What's the secret recipe for success in a challenge in a nisayon? We'll open up one line in the Or Yisrael of Rabbi Yisrael Misalant. He writes, "Lahaktin hadavar lohakel b'nisayon, ad asher tigdal hayira me'ataiva." The words of Rabbi Yisrael here are a bit challenging, but one thing you see here that he's saying two things: the recipe for facing the challenges is a twofold recipe. One is lahakel anisayon, by being makdin adovar, and the second thing is tigdal hayira me'ataiva. So let's try to understand these two dimensions. I would think that in a sense it's kind of like sur me'ra v'asei tov. What I mean by sur me'ra is tigdal hayira. If you emphasize the punishment, a person feels afraid of sinning because he realizes what damage, what the repercussions are, the punishment is so harsh. That's called Tigdal Hayira. And even if he has taiva to do the aver, but the yira, the fear of punishment, is so intense that it tips the scale and he's able to overcome his taiva. But what's lahaktin adover lahakil anisoyin? Maybe lahaktin adover means to make little of the sin itself. You know, the sin seems so exciting, so alluring. It's out there in neon lights. You know what? Maybe the sin is not all that it's cracked up to be. Maybe the sin is not going to give him so much benefit. That's also an approach. So we have the double approach of tigdal ayira and lahakel hanisoyin al yidei haktonas hadover. And perhaps we could read this into the pasuk in Koheles: Smach bachur bialdusecha v'yitivcha libcha bimei bechurosecha v'halech bedarche libcha u'bemarei einecha v'da k'al kol eile yiviacha elokim b'mishpat. Very strange. This pasuk seems to contradict itself from the resha to the seifa. On the one hand, it says, enjoy your youth, bachur, smach bachur bialdusecha, and halach, halech bedarche libcha. Why don't you follow the ways of your heart, with marienecha, and things that you see with your eyes? And yet, at the end of the pasuk, v'da, but you better worry about the fact that ki al kol elo yivicha l'kim ha-mishpat, you'll be taken to heavenly justice. The Gemara itself says in Shabbos Daf Samach Gimel that Tchilas HaPasuk, the beginning of the Pasuk of Smach Bachur Bial Dusecha V'Halech B'Darkei Limcha, are the words of the Yetzer, of the Yetzer Hara. The end of the Pasuk are the words of the Yetzer Tov V'Darkei Al Kol Eli Yaviach Alokim B'Mishpat. And this Pasuk really represents a classical Nisayon. Maybe this is the archetype of a Nisayon. The Reish of the Pasuk, Smach Bachur Bial Dusech, enjoy your youth. Halech B'Darchei Libcha, and follow the desires of your heart. That's the real challenge. That's the Nisayon. Those are the words of the Yetzer Hara that try to seduce a person to do evil. But at the same time, the Yetzer Tov says, V'daki al kol eila yiviach alokim v'mishpat, you have to raise and intensify the level of yira, of fear, by realizing that God will take you to task and you'll be judged for everything that you do. Those are the words of the Yetzer Tov. So in this Nisayon, our paradigm Nisayon, we really have two ends of the scale. You know, the scale is balancing two polar extremes. On one polar extreme, we have the words of the Yetzer Hara that's trying to seduce a person and ensnare them. Smach bachur v'yativcha libcha halach b'darchei libcha b'mareinecha. And against that, we have, weighing it down on the other side, the fear of punishment. Ki al kol eli yaviach alokim b'mishpat. And if we want to sort of tip the scale in favor of Tov, then what we have to do is one of two things. And the best thing would be to do both. One is either, in the words of Rav Yisrael, lahakdin adover lahakel anisayon. In other words, minimize the benefits or the excitement of the crime. Convince yourself that this crime is really damaging, or that this crime really expresses lowliness and stupidity. The crime simply is not worth it. It doesn't pay. That's lahakdin hadavar lahakel hanisayon. But at the same time, lahagdil hayira, to intensify our fear, to realize and emphasize the harshness of the punishment. And we have to do both, if we can, at least one of the two. And the example of the Altiv Nevardik, the mashal, if you will, he tells of a person who walks in the street on Shabbos afternoon. It's almost, you know, it's almost evening. Shabbos is almost over, but not yet. And this person has a very poor life. His family is begging for food, for lechem lechol. His children are crying because of famine and starvation. And the man turns to the Ribbono Shel Olam with a great cry, a profound cry. And he says, Chaltzeini, please save me mitzukasi from my terrible mitzuka. Hamtzei li mizoni. And as he's praying, his eyes all of a sudden shine. His eyes light up because what's at his feet? A bill that's worth 200 shekel. A 200 shekel note. Again, I don't know if the Altar from Slobodka knew about shekelim, but it was a significant amount of money. 200 shekel. That could provide him for his family with bread for an entire month. But the only problem is, it's Shabbos. Shabbos is not over yet. And it's Muktzah. As soon as he thinks of Muktzah, all of a sudden, this young man becomes a Lamdan. A very sharp, brilliant Lamdan. He starts saying, well, Muktzah is only Drabbanon. Chesed is Doraisa. And I need to do Chesed for my family. Mukta is only one avera. Chesed is an ongoing mitzvah to feed 10 mouths for an entire month. And not only that, it might even be suffik pikuach nefesh, because we might die of starvation. And if I can do it kilachar yad, you know, I'll pick up this 200 shekel note behind my back. I'll use my pinky to pick it up. I'll use my thumb. I'll do something strange. That'll be tiltul mukta kilachar yad. Not only that, he says to himself, you know what? I can put it into a tissue, and perhaps I can pull it with my nose or with my mouth, I don't know. And in the case of Mukta Machmas Isur, if it's a Tzorek Gufo, then there might be a heter for it. After all is said and done, all the lumdas, he realizes that it's us, so he's not allowed to do it. And that all his heterim are just, you know, that he came up with are all Osios Parchos Ba'avir. But the challenge is so great. So what does he think to himself? He says, look, let's say I bend down and I pick this up and I see that on the other side of this 200 shekel note it says Tfus HaShoshanim, meaning it's not a real note. They print everything, you know, except for dollars. Anything that looks like a dollar. And then I'll realize what a shmat I have. And I made myself into a stupid person. What did he do over here? The method was a gewaldig method. He was, as to use Rabbi Yisrael's term, hikdin anisayon. He was able to lahakel anisayon by being mocked in the dover. He started saying that, you know what? Let's take a look at this sin and see what the benefits are. Well, there probably won't be any benefits. It's probably not even a real 200 shekel note. He could have also, at the same time, intensified the yira. And he could say to himself, look, this is a challenge. They're testing me. They're watching me. They're videoing me. They're following me. They want to test me and see if I can be Omi Bin Isayon. Or he might say to himself, what happens if I bend down to pick up this 200 shekel note? And punk, exactly at that minute, my Rebbe is going to pass by. And Yimora Shamayim Aleichem Kimora Basav Adam. What will I explain to my Rebbe? Was I looking for a napkin? And this is what I found? So when we see the Chachamim giving us recommendations about how to fight, how to overcome the challenges of the Yetzer Hara, we'll see that over and over again, consistently, our Chazal gave us these two methods, and they're integrated together in order to be mizaris us, in order to strengthen us so that we can withstand temptation. For example, the Gemara talks about kas. And in the Durham it says, they call it koes, kol mine gehenom, sholtimbo. It's terrible. Gehenom. V'ol chol avera shabol, if he's really enraged, if he's really angry, he can violate every single avera out of anger. So what do they do? Pa'alu lahagbir ayira. The Gemara says we have to figure out a way in which we can realize that the sin is so damaging. The punishment is so harsh. Stay away. But not only that, there's also another approach, and that is anger is going to bring him down. It has a very very bad influence and impact on his mental and physical health. It really ruins the eyesight, and you get psychological problems for it. You're going to get hemorrhoids. In other words, the sin doesn't pay off. It's not worth it. Kas is not worth it. The price that you're going to pay, the damaging impact of kas, it just is not justified by what you gain. So on the one end, you can do it with Hagbaras Ha'onesh, Tigdal Ayira. And you start thinking of the Gemara Nedarim, that Ha'koes is called Mine Gehenim Sholtimbo. It's a terrible thing, you'll burn. And at the same time, try to limit the benefits from this sin. You know, what are you going to gain from kas? All sorts of things are going to control you, and you're going to get sick from it, and your blood pressure is going to go up, and you'll get hemorrhoids. That's called haktonas hanisoyim. And that integration of the two forces is what we really have to strive for in facing all the challenges of the Yetzara. The Gemara tells us that akoyes afilu shechina eino chashuva kenegdo. If a person gets angry, forget about the shechina. The shechina is not there. So that's intensifying the yira to realize the harsh punishment. And then the Gemara adds, Shemeshamishakeach Talmudo umosif tipshus. That anger will cause a person to forget everything he learned and add stupidity to his life, to his intellectual life. That means that the sin just doesn't pay off. So what he's doing here is he's saying that the benefits of the crime, the nature of the crime is such that the damage is great, and it and the advantages or the benefits just don't overweigh the damage. It's not worth it for this kind of situation. In a case of a smoker, for example, you want to influence him to stop smoking, so you talk to him not about the chumras ha'onesh. I mean, what are they going to do? They'll lock him up in jail because he's a smoker? Probably not. But lahaktinus hanisoyin lahakel, just learn more about the influence, the impact of smoking on one's health. Then, for example, with regard to gaiva, the Gemara in Sota Daf Dalet Hamizgah Ka'oved Avodizara V'Karui Toeva U'Megarei Shashchina. This is all Hagboras Hagdolas Hayira Tigdal Yira. Be scared of the harsh punishment because you're involved in an avera of gaiva, which is no less severe than avodah zarah. It's a toeva. The word toeva is usually designated exclusively for karbonos, for karban bipsul. And basically, the shechina is completely running away from you if you're a bal gaiva. And this in a sense is what we call hagbara sayira. But yet at the same time, the Gemara tells us in Soto later on in the Masechta that afilu anshe beso sold him imenu, that if a person gets angry, his own close relatives stay away from him. And that's to be mocked in the Nisayon when you realize how much of an impact, how much of a damage this sin is going to have on your life, and in this case on your status vis-a-vis your family. And we find the same thing over and over again in the Mishnah in Shavuos. One of the litigants wants to take a Shavuah to defend himself in court. And we have to give him a little bit of a scare and warn him and threaten him. That's an Iyum ala mavakesh lishav. He has to know, number one, says the Gemara, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said at Har Sinai lo sisa Hashem Hashem alakech lashav, the entire globe shook 400 parses on 400 parses. That's to be magbir the year to have them realize the severity of the sin and the harshness of the punishment. But then they said that he should know that nifroim al kach nimenu mishpato mikol ha'olam le'alter, you know, to try to realize that the sin is just not worth it. The benefits do not, are by far outweighed by the detriments, by the loss. And therefore, it's not so much of a nisayon for him. He's able to play these games with his mind and convince himself that this sin just doesn't pay off. Or, for example, Sanhedrin, Ketzen, Me'ayman, Ala Edim. It's not enough that we tell them that it's a very severe Isur, it's in the Aser Sadibros, Losan of Reachet Shaker. Don't even dream of perjuring yourself. That's called Hagboras Hayira because of the severity of the crime. But the other point that we say is that Omrim Lahem Shasokrimosam Lahayin Heim Atzim Zalzim Bozim Lahem. Those who are hired in order to perjure themselves in a court of law, they are really mizalzel biatzman. They are lowly individuals, and they humiliate themselves. It's not worth it. The crime just is not worth it. And the Gemara in Brachos tells us that when they appointed Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who was a Kohen, as the Nasi, then they decided, you know what, let's reappoint Rabbi Gamliel, who is deposed. And they talked to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, they said to them the following: Haragil latos aglima, he who's used to wearing the kingly garments, yates aglima. In other words, Rabbi Gamliel is used to being the Nasi, let him continue being the Nasi. And if somebody is not used to wearing the glima, you know, the garments of kingship, then why should he wear them? Pshot glima scha v'ani el b'shena. Take off those garments. They're not appropriate for you. And then they said to him, Maze ben Maze, which means Kohen is called a Maze, because he does the sprinkling of the dam in the carbon of the Beis HaMikdash. Ben Maze, he's a Kohen, the son of a Kohen, Yaze, he should do the Hazah of the Mechatas. But She'eno lo Maze v'lo ben Maze, what about the case of someone who's not a Kohen, he's not the son of a Kohen? Yomar lemaze ben maze, should turn to the Kohen and say, Meimecha, Mei Ma'ara. In other words, your waters are not kosher for hazos mechatos. Aferecha efer makla. This is efer that was, you know, you have these ashes in the oven, and that's not the efer that was designated for the paraduma. So what is all this about here? This Gemara has to be decoded, deciphered. So the Marsha says that the first Taina is really the Hagdol Asayira. They tell him, look, the kingly garments belong to Shevet Yehuda. The Pasuk says, Lo Yasser Shevet Mi Yehuda Mechokik Mein Raglav. Those are the Rashi Golios and the Nisim, the Chashmonaim, who brought about a great Kiddush Hashem. They then went ahead and took the Melucha. They were Kohanim, and they had no right to the Melucha. And look what happened to them. So the first thing is we scare them away because of the fear of the severity of the sin. And then, let's talk about the benefits. Are the benefits worth that much? That's called Haktanas and Nisayon. The Kohanim have their own avoda. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, you're a Kohen, you're a Maze ben Maze. Is Yaza, you do what you have to do. And don't forget that Uzziah HaMelech wanted so badly to be like a Kohen, he wanted to bring the Ketores. Then as a result, he became a Metzora until the very day of his death. So this is all part of the Haktanas HaNisayim, when we tell Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah that it's just not a great thing. Who knows what you can end up and where you can end up? Ein adam nogea b'muchan l'chavero. It's not kedai for you to take from something that's really designated for your chaver. And Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, you know what? You don't need this nisius. It doesn't belong to you. It belongs to Rav Gamliel. And Rav Gamliel is not a Kohen. You, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, are a Kohen. So if Rav Gamliel would want to take the kahuna, then of course he would have no place to take the kahuna. But on the flip side, does Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah have a right to take over the nisius? And the answer is no, because the deceased belongs to Rav Gamliel. So we have these two methods, and the Torah seems to recommend both of them. Now take the case of Hakravas HaOla. To bring the Ola is a nisayon, is a test. The Kohen doesn't get anything from the Ola. And therefore, we should warn him to have Zrizus be Mezaris him by telling him Hagdolas HaYira, how much he should fear Hashem, and out of that fear, he should take upon himself to bring, to be makriv, and do the hakrav on behalf of Yisrael in a karban ola. On the other hand, the Torah says that, you know what, let's give the Kohen the skin of the ola. That's already haktonas hanisoyon, because if he brings the ola, despite the HR's tempting him not to, he gains something from it. He gets tachlis, he gets the yar. Maybe it's worth a lot of money on the market, I don't know. So we're dealing with the ola and the zeros that we want to give to the Kohanim on two different levels. On one level, to explain to them that you have a responsibility and you have to live up to your responsibility and instill fear of the Lord in their hearts. But on the other hand, we tell the Kohanim, you know what? This is worth it for you. Because if you will abstain from the Ola, you will be forfeiting the skins of the Ola. And this is a consistent approach of Chazal teaching us that we have to operate with both levels. It's got to always be against the Yetzer Hara, and all in this, a two-pronged attack, I would say. Two-pronged attack. And since Nisyonos, tests, you know, and trials and tribulations are so often integrated into our life, almost a daily basis, almost every hour, Chazal felt that they needed to teach us and guide us how to deal with these Nisyonos that are so constant in our lives. And just like Yosef HaTzadik in the Nisayon of Eishes Potiphar, the Pasuk says, Vayimoyen, and Ramban explains, Ki Yorei Es Hashem. And then at the end, Vayomer El Eishes Hadonov, Hein Adoni Lo Yoda Iti Babayis, V'chol Asher Yesh Lo Nosan B'yodi, Einenu Gadol Babayis Hazeh Bimeni V'lo Chosach Bimeno Umakim Osoch Basherat Ishto, V'ech Esa Harag Dolazos. This is all Atonas and Isaiah, because there is such a great need or ethical responsibility to express one's gratitude. And that's more or less what Yosef is saying, that I need to feel a tremendous amount of gratitude to my master. Why? Because he raised me up to the highest level. There's no one higher than me. And not only that, he never prevented me from taking anything except for you, because you're his wife. How could I do the rug? He did so much for me. And he upgraded me to an amazing status. Now I'm going to be an ingrate, and I'm going to have relations with his wife. That's haktonas and nisayon. It just doesn't make sense to do the sin. It's balanced. It's off balanced, off sided by the sense of hakaras hatov that I have to have for my adon. And then at the end he says chatasi lelokim. That's already hagdolas hayira. And you know what? Sometimes in our relationships, we have a funny kind of a dual standard, if you will, a double standard. On the one hand, when it comes to ourselves, everyone is trying to figure out how to diminish the nisayon, the challenge. Right? They're going to start thinking to themselves, what can I do in order to prevent myself from getting angry this afternoon? And starts planning out his discussion with his wife, telling her up front what he's expecting, what parts of the daily menu he's ordering, so that he protects himself from getting angry. You know, everything's prepared up front. There won't be any surprises. There won't be any reason for disappointment. But then when he asks himself, how do I prevent my wife from getting angry? All of a sudden, he has a whole different standard. He says, you know what? Let's use the Hagbaras Hayira standard. You know, she'll see that it's not worth it for her to get angry. So just to summarize this whole piece here about how to motivate us and strengthen our ability against the Yetzer Hara, it's got to be, as Rabbi Yisrael said it, a two-pronged attack. On the one hand, we've got to figure out how to be magdil the yira, and number two, at the same time, lahaktin es hanisayon, to minimize the benefits that we might get from sin. What are you meant to tell a Talmud who just not long ago came into the Beis Medrash when he returned to start the Zman from his hometown, and he came in with such merits, with such enthusiasm? He had what we call in Yiddish bren, you know, he had the fire under himself. He had such hislavus, with such cheshek, such a desire and a craving to learn. And he really got into it, heavy, you know, his learning, his musa studies, his tefillah. But now time went by, and it seems like all the air went out of the tire. The battery is dead. All of a sudden, his rifyon, he's weak. He's not interested. He's not motivating himself. He's not there. He's not going to minyanim. What happened? And such a young man comes to ask you, you know, what do I do? I don't know what happens. I can't make it out. My gishmak, my motivation is completely gone. All my cheshek is on the lowest ebb that you can imagine. I'm just dried up. So what can you tell a person who's going through that experience? So I want to share with you an insight of the author of the Gadita, of Yankel Galinsky, that I like to quote a lot. And he speaks about the great danger to a Talmud who doesn't know what's happening with him. He doesn't understand what is the nature of his experience. He's going to get so overwhelmed and so shooken up, he can fall all the way down and get into a situation of depression, of despair, and throw up his hands and say, I'm out of here, I can't do it. I don't understand what I'm experiencing here, and why am I in this situation? He doesn't understand, this Talmud, that what he's undergoing, what he's experiencing, is quite natural and quite predictable. There's nothing unusual about it. It's all tzafuhi. It's all something that we can anticipate. And the first thing we have to do to try to tell this Talmud to calm down and figure out how he's going to face this challenge and try to deal with it, and let's go back. In order to deal with it, let's ask him to go back and sort of arrange or reanalyze three different situations. Let's describe situation number one. We'll call it item one. Klal Yisrael leave Mitzrayim. The Mitzrayim are in hot pursuit. They ran, and now they're faced, blocked off by the Yam Suf. Moshe Rabbeinu says, go into the Yam. They go until their ankles, until their knees, up to the mid-waist. They get all the way to their shoulders and falling to their necks. Now they have to jump in order to avoid the waves. It's up to their nose. They turn to Hashem with a pasuk in Tehillim, Hoshieni, Hoshieni Elokim Kivo Mayim Nafesh. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu splits the Yam. That's situation number one. Situation number two, the Medrash speaks about Dasan Vaviram when Klal Yisrael went out of the Mitzrayim. These two individuals decided to stay behind. They wanted to become part of Paro's legion. And so, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu set a trap for the Mitzrayim, and he told Klal Yisrael to come a little bit back, and that Paro would understand that they're nevochim barts, that they're confused and they're perplexed, they don't know where to go, they're caught in the desert, and then Dasan Vaviram pipe up, and they give Paro a piece of advice, and they recommend him, this is the moment to go running after Klal Yisrael, they're weak. And they themselves, Dasan Vaviram, join in the chase. They join with the Mitzrayim. They see, when they get close to Klal Yisrael, that the pillar of fire is accompanying the people of Israel in front of them, Holich Lifneam. They see that there's an Amud Anan, a cloud, a pillar of cloud, behind the people of Israel. Then they see that the water splits in front of Klal Yisrael, the Shvatim come into the Charav, into the dry land. Obviously, Dasan Vaviram understood at this point that Yisrael are not Nevochim at all. This was all just a ploy to get the Mitzrayim out of there, running after them. And on the contrary, Klal Yisrael are very solid. They're following Hashem, and Hashem is leading them. Now, what happens next? Paro and all of his soldiers fall into the trap, and they're caught in the Yam Suf, and the waters on both sides are collapsing to drown the Mitzrim. Dosim Avir understood that now's time to draw back. They had no choice. They waited until the Mitzrim, you know, were drowned, and then they decided to join Klal Yisrael. Who needs such people? These are not, you know, the people that you want to join your ranks. But nevertheless, you know, you might ask, if they made the decision to join Klal Yisrael, we don't need them. We don't want to, you know, invite them. But nevertheless, a Jew is a Jew, and Klal Yisrael did not refuse them. Even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that they would remain Rishayim, Rashi tells us that they were the ones who left over the man until the morning, violating the mandate of Hashem. They're the ones who went out on Shabbos to collect the man. They were the ones who fired up the machlokas of Korach v'Hadasso. And eventually they were finally left out of the call. They finally were lost, Baruch Hashem. But yet, the Jews didn't reject them. The Jews said, look, if they want to become part of us, we'll give them any support that we can. So what happens? They don't want to go into the water. They don't want to go up to the neck. They're just waiting until everything fits into place. The water splits. And when Klal Yisrael are able to go through a road, a path, then they decide, you know, they'll join those who are singing the Shir Sayam. Then we get to Roman numeral number 3, the third scenario. This is a medrash that tells us about how many Jews died during Makas Choshech. Most of the Jewish people did not really want to go out of Mitzrayim. And large percentages, we don't know exactly how many, the different opinions, died during the 3 days of darkness in Mitzrayim. They were, Klal Yisrael was ready, just at the tippy edge, about to experience redemption, and yet hundreds of thousands of Jews died because they refused to go out. They didn't want to join the Jewish people. Many of them, Chazal tells, would have, in theory, in principle, gone out with the Jewish people, but they didn't want to undergo Mila. Imagine, they would remain in Mitzrayim rather than do Mila. Who needs these people? Let them stay in Mitzrayim. Shevet Levi was Mahul, and there were probably individuals like Yeshua and others amongst the Jewish people who were Mahulim, but let the other ones just be destroyed in Mitzrayim. But that's not what happened. Chazal tells in the Medrash that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did a miracle, and he let those who had undergone Mila, when they were doing the Korban Pesach, he brought the ruchos, the winds, to carry the smell of Gan Eden that came from the Korban Pesach, and that Reach Nicholach would travel a distance of 40 days, and then all of Klal Yisrael came to Moshe Rabbeinu and they said, please, give us some of this Korban Pesach. You know, it's really, really smelling good. They were just overwhelmed by the smell. And it's like the Gemara talks about Achzuv Bulmus. You know, it's all like Pikuach Nefesh. And Moshe Rabbeinu turns to them according to Chazal, and he says, look, if you're not going to undergo Mila, you're not going to eat with us. You're not going to partake in the Korban Pesach. We're not going to give you a Reilim, a Korban Pesach. So immediately they responded, okay, we're ready for the Korban Pesach. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to kiss every one of them, give them a bracha, and let them join Klal Yisrael in the Exodus to be the redemption of Egypt. Now let's just compare and contrast these three situations that we described. In the first scenario, Klal Yisrael were expected to make every single effort, even to the point in which the water of Yam Suf would come up to their neck, and then and only then does the Yam split. In the second situation, they weren't expected to do any sort of work. All they needed was to be ready. So Dasan Avira understood that they were in a complicated situation. They requested, they petitioned, so to speak, to become part of Klal Yisrael. And sure enough, you know, the that's all they needed to save them, and there was a Kriyas Yamsim they went through. In the third situation, the Jewish people did not express any interest, any, they weren't prepared at all, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu does the whole thing for them, and he brings them to a situation where they would have a desire to undergo Milah in order to eat from the Karban Pesach because of the Reach Nichoch of Gan Eden. So again, just to summarize, in the first case, HaKadosh Baruch Hu demands all the work from the Jewish people, all the exposing themselves to danger, all that level of emunah bitachon, this whole ma'amat, as we call it, this whole tremendous undertaking. The second case, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know what, Dasam Avir, we're not going to even ask you for any ma'amats. You want to join Klal Yisrael, it's after Kriyas Yamsuf, it's a cinch, you didn't do anything, you didn't lift a finger, we'll let you join Klal Yisrael. In the third situation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes the initiative to bring about a ratzon on behalf of these Jews to undergo Milah. And if you take a look at the Tfilas Ne'ilah of Yom HaKippurim, Ata Nosen Yad LaPoshim, Yemincha Pshuta L'Kabel Shavim, this seems to be related to that third category that we discussed, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who takes the initiative. The people are not yet ready to join Klal Yisrael, they don't want Milah, it's too painful for them, or whatever it is. So we're talking about chet as a disease, it's a spiritual disease. But there are different levels of a disease. You know, at some point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels that in order to bring about the healing process, that the patient, in this case Klal Yisrael, either individuals or multitudes of Klal Yisrael are so spiritually sick, you know, they're so far away from joining the Yetzias Mitzrayim, from doing tshuva, they are light years away. So what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? Ata nosen yad l'posh. Yimincha pshuta l'kavol shav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes the initiative. And it's almost like the mashal, if Chas V'Shalom, a father, you know, his two sons were hurt in an accident, and one of them is conscious, even though he's got wounds all over his body, and he's just letting out kvetches constantly, but the other brother is unconscious. Now, which one, if the father has to decide where he should position himself, next to which bed in the hospital of which of his two sons should he be with? And again, the heart breaks when we think about it, but he's got to make a decision. And the answer is that the son who is conscious, even though he's been hit and smacked all over the place, he still has the ability to scream out. You know, if he's in pain, he'll call the nurse or he'll call for a doctor when he needs it. But the other Ben, the other son of his, is unconscious completely. And, you know, he may have various situations of crisis and he can't cry out because he's not conscious. We have to see if he's breathing properly. We have to make sure that if there's any change in any of his vital signs, whether it's for good or chas v'shalom for bad, you have to be at his bedside. The other one, as bad as it, despite the fact that he's in terrible shape, but at least he can speak, he can respond to sin, he could cry out for help. And so too in the Nimshal, when you talk about Chotim, you know, you have some Chotim who realize, they recognize what their imperfections are, they have some sort of desire to do tshuva, relatively speaking, their situation is good. They can begin to help themselves. They may need help, but at least they can begin the process on their own. But it's a real rachmanis on those who are completely unconscious. They just have no recognition of where they are and what they need to do, and they're not relating to tshuva at all. It doesn't speak to them. And when Rabbi Akiva says at the end of Yoma, Ashrechem Yisrael lefnei mi atem metarim. Umi metar eschem. A double language. Lefnei mi atem metarim. These are the people who come to do Tara on their own. They recognize their sin, but umi mitar eschem, that's already the second category. These are people who are so far removed, they're not motivated on their own to come and do tshuva, nothing. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, mi mitar eschem, avichem shvashmayim, v'zarak shenemar, v'zarak di aleichem mayim torim. Here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes the initiative. Because in that second category of sinners, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't possibly wait for them to come. And if you take a look at the Pasuk says, Mikve Yisrael Hashem. What does that mean? In the case of Zarakti Aleichem Mayim Torim, in the lowest level of sins who are so wide, so far away, it's Zarakti HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes the initiative. But as far as the first category, those who take the initiative on their own, they realize they need tshuva, they need reconstruction very badly. Is mikveh Yisrael Hashem. Hashem says, here's the mikveh, jump into the mikveh. You have the initiative, you come on your own to purify yourself, here's the mikveh for you. And in Tefillas Neila, as we said before, Atono Saint Yad LaPoshim, those are the people who are rebellious and they're so far away. And they themselves are not putting out any sort of an arm and saying, catch me and help me. Is therefore Yamincha Pshutel Kabal Shavim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will extend my arm and I will carry you and bring you to do tshuva. And a cute story, there was once this stingy person who was tight-fisted. He would never respond to any plea, any charity cause, he never would give his hand and extend it in any collection of tzedakah. And one day he was swimming and he fell in. He was carried away by a very strong current. And somebody saw that he was drowning, he jumped in, he said, please, give me your hand. So, in the story, the drowning fellow says, what do you mean? I'm not going to give you a hand, I don't give a hand to anybody. So they called the lifesaver, and he said, okay, take my hand. Oh, that he was willing to do. Not to give, but to take. Tein yad, oh no. I don't give a yad. Yad meaning help. I don't extend my arm in help. But take, that I'm willing to do. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Avarachmim. And he says, you know what? If you're not willing to extend an arm, then take my hand. That's Atanose Yad LaPoshin. And if you ask me amongst these three categories of individuals, who is going to get the greatest abundance, the most intense kind of help from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And it's going to be the third one, because the third category needs HaKadosh Baruch Hu to take the initiative. He himself is completely mufka, he's completely excluded, he's on the other extreme. He's like an unconscious person, has no interest in going out of Mitzrayim. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to have to grant a very ample volume of help for the second category, because in the second category, you know, we're talking about people who are willing to do absolutely nothing to get back on the right path. They're like Dosim Aviron. In the first category, where Klal Yisrael are able to reach the point where the waters come up to their nose and they have bitachon, they're moving with their own initiative. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know what? You're conscious. You know, in the mashal that we had for the two brothers, you're conscious and therefore you can deal with it. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to play less of a role in helping them along. So the first category of Klal Yisrael Yamsuf, they are able on their own to face the challenge until the waters get up to their nose. At that point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu splits the Yam for them. Otherwise, they were doing everything on their own with their own initiative. And this is what when we turn to this Talmud in the yeshiva that we started with, and he's in a down situation, we can explain to him what happened. He's confused about what happened. But the truth is that initially, when he first came and he saw the light and he was full of energy and excitement, that was a point in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu was bringing the Reach of Gan Eden, like that case of the Korban Pesach and those who didn't want to go out of Mitzrayim. It was a pure gratis, it was a gift from the divine being to give all the support that's possible. And now that you've tasted this taste of Gan Eden, you've gotten all the siyua, all the help from Hashem that you need. Now you're not seeing any help from Hashem. The answer is because Hashem feels that you have already reached the point where you could stand on your own two feet. God says, I can now demand from you that you can face this challenge. You can overcome it. The pasuk says, Al tomar mehoya shayom rishonu ayutovim elu ki lo mechachma shaltal zeh. Koheles tells us that in the Yom Rishonim, they were good in the sense that the light was shown to you, but now you have to do a mamatz, you have to do your own initiative, you have to work hard, and you have to face the challenge. And swinging back to our parasha for a moment, the Kohen begins his avodah. He comes in on the first day to do his avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. He has his chinuch. He has his inauguration as a Kohen. And the halacha is he has to bring his own personal korban mincha. The pasuk says, HaKohen HaMashiach tachtov mibonov. The Kohen Gadol himself, Yasosa chok olam lashem. He's got to bring on a daily basis 1/10 of an ephah. And why? And the Medrash says that the korban of the Nesiim is chaviv, because they brought on the day of the inauguration of the Mishkan their korbanos, each one of the Nesiim, and it's kishira shamu yisrael bayam. However, the Medrash also adds another point here: chaviv korbanos shel Aaron ke korban haNesiim. You see, the Nesiim brought their korbanos on a very special occasion. It was a day of the inauguration of Mishkan. It was an uplifting, inspiring day. It was a day of Shira. And therefore, it's very logical that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would consider these korbanos to be like Shira. Shira means, you know, when I'm in a state of exhilaration, you know, we went through Yom Suf, we recite Shira. And that's great, and that's the Korban HaNesiim. But it's not a chiddush. The real chiddush, the real challenge, is that of the Kohen Gadol who has to bring a korban that's asiris ha'efa on a daily basis, not just in the moment of exhilaration, of redemption and salvation. So the chiddush is, let the Kohen come on a daily basis, continually, non-stop, without missing a day, and bring an asiris ha'efa. It may not be such an impressive kind of korban with all the luster and the neon lights, but it's hasmada. It's every day. And that's your challenge as a yeshiva bach. You're going through a difficult stage, and you're a little bit down, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu has shown you the way in the past. Now he believes you're able to stand on your own two feet. Your goal is to imitate the paradigm of the Kohen Gadol and bring the Asiris Eifa on a daily basis. Make your experience in yeshiva and learning and davening shigra. Shigra meaning it should be part of your hergel, of what you're used to. It should be second nature to you. That's your challenge. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, you can do it. And finally, the pasuk that I wanted to speak to you about, Im al todo yakrivena, Rashi says, todo is brought as a gratitude for miracles in four different categories. There are those who were in danger because they traveled through the seas. There were those who were in danger because they went through the desert. There are those who got out of jail. There was those who were sick, they were ill, and they experienced recovering to health. In all these cases, the pasuk in Tehillim says, Yodu Lashem Chazdo v'niflosov l'vnei Adam v'yizbchu zivchei toda. A person has to thank Hashem for the niflos that he brought about, and he has to bring a zevach toda, carbon toda. And the Ksav Sofer at this point explains a very strange medrash. The medrash says, "Im al toda yakriveno." That's the pasuk, and that pasuk of "im al toda yakriveno" here in Vayikra Zayin is parallel to the pasuk in Tillim of "Zoveach toda yichabdoni." And the medrash says, "Yichabdeni enksiv ella yichabdoni." Kavod achar kavod. It sounds like the Gemara is using this word, yichabdonini, the double nun, to teach us this is a kavod li achar kavod. It's going to be two acts, so to speak, or expressions of glorifying Hashem's name through the act of gratitude of thanksgiving. Says the Ksav Sofer, what does the Midrash mean? A person was in danger, he was saved. He thanks Hashem for the good. But you know what? On a deeper level, there's a hodah kfula, there's another dimension of hodah. When he recognizes that not only did he experience a nes because Hashem saved him, but in truth he has to thank Hashem even for the sakana, the danger that he was in. Because we have a principle of kol man di'avad rachmona l'tav of it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu may have brought him into a challenging threat, even a dangerous situation, in order that he do tshuva, or in order that he should experience goodness and chesed at the end, tova. And the Gemara tells us in Brachos Keshem, Shechayv lehodos al tova, kachayv lehodos al ra, you have to have a simcha to appreciate that even the challenges that you faced and the difficulties that you faced, the Esar that you experience, that's also part of the divine plan for your own benefit. David HaMelech says, Havarchas Hashem b'chol Es, meaning even the Esara. And it means, Tamid tihilaso b'fi. A person is always thanking Hashem, not just for the great salvation and the miracles that Hashem saved him from all these four categories of danger, but moreover, to be Yechabdoni, Yechabdonini. I get to pronounce it right. Yechabdonini, Nunini. The two nuns over here. There's a kavod achar kavod. You should thank Hashem and bring this korban toda for the ra and for the hatzolah. That's what the Ksav Sofer says, and that's the remez of the nun kfula. Nun itself is a remez to nefila. As Gemara says at the beginning of Brachos, that the reason why all the psukim of Tehillim and David start with another letter of the Aleph base, except the letter Nun is left out, because that's a remez to the Mapola, to the fall of Klal Yisrael, Chas V'Sholem. It says in almost Nafla V'Lotosif Kum B'Sulas Yisrael, the word Nafla, the Nun, is indicative of an Afila. And yet, the Gemara tells us in Masechta Brachos that if a person sees the word, the name Huna in a dream, right, that's the whole parak of interpreting dreams, is Nes Nasalo. He's going to have a Nes. And Rashi says, Nun Kineyan Nun. And if he sees the name Chanina or Chananya or Yochanan, is Nisei Niflos Nasimlo. And Al Kach, that's what the pasuk means. Yechabdon nini. Ninini. What's ninini? It is a remez to the fact that he's going to be mechabed HaKadosh Baruch. He's going to thank Hashem for nisei nisim, not just on the nes of Hatzolah, but also l'mafreya on the tzor itself. That's what the Beis Halevi is famous for. Odcha ki anisoni, fatehilu lishua. What does it mean? Ki anisoni. Odcha, I will thank you even for the anisoni. There's a double hodah here in this pasuk. And the first is for the inui, odcha ki ani sani, and vatehi l'shua, there's a second expression of gratitude for the Yeshua itself. And let's just remember the story, I think we've told it in the past, about the Rosh Yeshiva of Navardik, Rabbi Avram Yafin, who came to Eretz Yisrael, and he visited the Stipler, who was an old Talmud of Navardik. And it was Motzi Shabbos, and he saw the stipler was sitting down. He was eating Amalava Malka. He had his piece of black bread, a small piece of herring. He had a cup of water. And the Rosh Yeshiva Rebbe from Yafin said, you know what? He's the same stipler that he was in the yeshiva back in Novartek. Nothing has changed. He is now the Rabban Shel Yisrael. His works are being studied in all the yeshivas. Everyone admires him. He's been sanctified, but nothing really changed. He's the same yeshiva bach that he was back in the Vardik. As David HaMelech speaks about himself in the Yerushalmi in Sanhedrin, Hashem lo gav alibi, I'm not a balgaiva, I'm the same person. You know, even though Shmuel anointed me as king, nevertheless, lo ramo einai, I'm not up in the, you know, I'm not thinking myself as so high. Even when I killed Goliath, I don't give myself too much credit for that. Lo hilachti bigdolos, I never consider myself, you know, the greats. Uvidiflos mimeni, even when I return the Aron. Is David who akaton? The Gemara says in Megillah, it means who bekatnuso mitchiloso ve'adsofo. So to the stipler is really the same bekatnuso and begadluso mitchilo ve'adsof. He's a humble person. He's modest. He does his thing. He's eating his v'lava malka, his piece of fish, and his piece of and his piece of bread. And it's known that the stipler was hard of hearing. So when the Rosh Yeshiva came in, he started telling the stipler, you know that there are, today we have different types of hearing aids that you could put into your ear that would enhance your ability to hear. So the stipler says, wait a minute, the only time I really have to hear is during Kriyas HaTorah, and I stand next to the Balkore and I put my ear there and I'm able to hear. So why do I need to hear anything else? So the Rosh Yeshiva thinks to himself, wait a minute, you've got hours during the day where people come filing by, they want to see you, they want to be mitya'etz with you, and you're not able to hear what they say. And there are hundreds of people who come to visit the stipler. Imagine if you could only hear them. Instead, the minig was that they should write down on a ledger what they're asking. And the stipler's response to Rabbi Avram Yafin, the Rosh Yeshiva, was the following. If I would be able to hear them, I would have to sit and dedicate time to them. My whole day would be dedicated to the people who come to see me. When would I have a moment to learn Torah? Because Baruch Hu spared me. I can't hear, and therefore they have to write down any question they have. And most of them are too lazy, or they write in a very short way. Baruch Hashem, I can sit and learn. Imagine the stipler, instead of realizing that, wait a minute, to be deaf is a terrible thing. The Gemara says in Bava Kama Chersho Nosin Lo Tmei Kulo, he's not worth a dime as an eved. Yeah, you know, if you cause them deafness, you have to pay damages to the entire tune of what he's worth as an eved. But nevertheless, the stipler is a someach b'yisurin. He's happy. He finds the Chesed Hashem even in something so terrible as deafness. That's his attitude. That's the nun kfula. That's the pasuk yichabdinoni. That even the tzara chas v'sholom is all part of a divine plan. It's all part of something good for us. We thank Hashem, not just on the tova, but also on the ra. Not just on the yeshua and the hatzol, but also on the tzara. And that's Odcha Ki Ani Soni Vatehili Lishua. So these are some of the messages that we want to take with us from Parshas Tzav. The first message we remember is that we have to, in our approach against the Yetzer Hara, take a two-pronged approach. On the one hand, the Yira approach, we have to emphasize the punishment. On the other hand, Lahakil Es Hanisoi Lahakdin Es Hadover, to emphasize that there's very little benefits from the crime itself. On the contrary, the damage by far overweighs any benefits. Secondly, we learned about the Asiris Ha'efa, which means that even if we have moments that we find we're confused, where's that smother that we used to have? Ah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know what, you can stand on your two feet, take the initiative, face the challenge, deal with it, and I know that you can succeed. And finally, the nun kfula, that a person has to thank Hashem not just for the Hatzolah and the Yeshua, but also for the Tzar. It's all part of the divine plan for his benefit. If we can take these messages and the ethics that's between the lines, the Musar of Parshas Tzav, take it to heart, strengthen ourselves, it will no doubt project us forward, and our Avodas Hashem will be increased. Kein Yiratzon, Amen.